Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Turn to Isaiah 9, verse 6. Thank you, worship team. And we're going to get into the word this morning. Everybody's sitting down. Okay, cool. Yeah, everyone can sit down. It's cool. Yeah. All right. Isaiah 9, verse 6, we're going to read that and get into it. So the title of the message this afternoon is Kings Take Territory. Kings Take Territory. So Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord God, for your word. Father, I pray that you would open every heart and every mind in this place today, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord God, with this jet lag, Lord, that I preach this word with power, Lord God, because we know that nobody needs me, but everybody needs you, Lord. Speak today, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. That's funny that I said, nobody needs me, but everybody needs you, Lord, and they went, yes. Yes, we don't need you, brother. We need Jesus. Come on now. So Isaiah 9, verse 6, this is a very powerful scripture because we know that Isaiah was a prophet. He was prophesying, and he's prophesying of the coming of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to speak on this today because I don't believe that when God created the church, I don't believe that he created it to be a place where people would just come and get fat off the word of God and send up praises in the four walls. But I believe that he made it with an intent that people would take the message of the gospel out into the highways and the byways, go into the places of darkness, that people would go out and spread the gospel. And I believe in this scripture here, it starts to point at something that's quite poignant that can be easily missed. You know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. People generally understand that when they hear it. You ask somebody, you know, who's Jesus Christ to you, to say, you know, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, died on the cross for my sins. People say that. But there's a section where it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And when you read things like that, sometimes it's good to ask the question, you know, what is that? What is that? What's that government? What is he talking about? The government will be upon his shoulder. Because when I saw that, I was like, I want to know what this government is. What is this government? Well, the interesting thing is, in Matthew 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Well, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the introduction to Jesus' ministry is in preaching about a kingdom. So we hear the prophet talking about a government. We hear Jesus talking about a kingdom. And then the interesting thing is in Acts 1 verse 3, he's been to the cross, he's paid the price for our sins, he rises again, and he's about to ascend to heaven. Before he does that, he meets with the apostles, and he speaks to them once again about the kingdom. He's sharing a message once again about the kingdom. And then most of you are probably familiar with the Apostle Paul in Acts 28, the very last chapter, and verse 31. We see that we get to understand what it was that Paul preached. Paul was one of the apostles. He didn't walk with Jesus as the other apostles did, but he did have exceeding revelations. He went to the third heaven and spent time with Jesus in a way that was more intimate than we probably experienced. I've not been to the third heaven. Jesus wants to take me, I'll go. For a little bit, you know, but I've not had that experience. But Paul had that experience, and he had walked closely with Jesus, and he was taught by Jesus the same way that the other apostles were taught by Jesus. And he had the same message. He was preaching the kingdom of God. And it says this, it says he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. So the kingdom of God was something that God wanted to make sure that people understood. Now remember what the prophet said is he said that the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, I want to tell you today that God did not intend for you to live a life that was void of authority. God did not want you to live a life that was void of power. When God created humans, he created you to have authority. You see, in Genesis 1 verse 26, it said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." Everybody say dominion. "Over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth." This is what it says in your Bible, Genesis 1. God created humans to have dominion over the earth. What does it mean to have dominion? It means that you would have management rights. So God was the owner of heaven and earth, but he gave the management over to humanity. He gave the management over to humanity. So if you could picture like being involved in a business, an organization, the business, the organization would have a vision, have a purpose, but then they might hire a manager to carry out those endeavors. It was similar. God had a purpose. He had a vision. He had a reason for why he created earth and what he wanted to do with it. And then he brought in mankind to then outwork what it was that he saw. So the issue was in the Garden of Eden was that when Adam sinned, Adam stepped away from doing God's will. It wasn't just that he was stripped away from everlasting life. He was taken away from a position of authority. And that authority was then passed onto Satan. Somebody say, ooh. In Luke 4, we see this, 5 to 6. It says, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this is being delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish." That's what the devil said to Jesus. He showed him the kingdoms and he said, "This has been given to me." When was that given to him? There was a transfer. Somebody say transfer. The transfer took place in the Garden of Eden. The authority that was given to man was then handed over to Satan, and he was using that. He used that authority. That's why you see sickness. That's why you see demonic depression, oppression. That's why you see depression. That's why you see works of Satan taking place. The financial system of the world is corrupt. The political system of the world is corrupt. Why? Because Satan is at work in it. He took that authority and he was doing that. Somebody say, but Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You see, you don't have to repeat that one. John, you're always going to do it, aren't you? John 3:16. We're all quite familiar with this scripture, but sometimes we might not have necessarily looked at it from this light. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So let's read that again. God so loved the world. So let's pause there. Okay. So God so loved the world. This word world is actually a Greek word, which is cosmos. And this word, it talks about the authority. It talks about the governing system and the inhabitants of that. So in other words, God loved that authority that was once held by humanity, that he sent his only son to go and die, to have that reestablished. You see, when humans gave that authority over to Satan, God already had a plan. He already had a plan of redemption. When he made the womb of a woman, he made it so that the blood from the mother does not pass to the child. This has been proven by science. So he made a way, thank you. He made a way so that when the time had come, he would be able to put on human flesh without taking on sin and go to the cross and die as a man. Somebody say, God is good. Just 1 minute. My throat was dry, sorry. God is good. So he put on human flesh without taking on sin. And why did he have to do that? He had to do it because the dominion was given to man. You see, God never goes against his word. So when he gave dominion to man, he couldn't come as God and do it. He had to become man to do it. So in this scripture, when it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, it's quite prominent because these two statements clash a little bit. Unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born is talking about Jesus taking on flesh. Unto us a son is given is talking about Christ, which is the Spirit of God, which was never created, which was always eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So what we see is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, entered into flesh, and then you had God in the flesh. Then he went to the cross, and Jesus Christ was on the cross, and the Spirit of God came out of the body, went down into the grave, snatched the keys of death from Satan, snatched the grave, the power of the grave from Satan, took back the authority from... Is there anybody who's excited about what Jesus is doing? Then he rose back up. The Spirit entered back into Jesus Christ. He was resurrected. And then he appeared before his disciples. And he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go. The system had been re-switched. So I'm telling you that there's some power that's at work in your life that is not of God. But you have authority over it. Just because there's something operating that is affecting your life does not mean it has the authority to be there. I'm telling you that there's some things that are in operation in your life that you should not be comfortable with being there. Let me tell you that if there's anything in my life that does not line up with Scripture, I am not having a bar of it. Give me a week, give me a few months, but let me tell you, that thing's going to get dealt with. Because if it's not in line, then it's not my portion. If it's not in line with God's word, then it's not your portion. Because Jesus Christ didn't come just to give you everlasting life. He came to reestablish you with authority. If your life is void of authority, then you're not taking on the fullness of the gospel. You see, you might have this authority, but you might not experience the fullness of it without applying a few things. Somebody say, what are those? You see, Jesus, he went to the cross. He paid that price, he regained authority, but he went through a process of testing. And every single person goes through a process of testing. Every single person goes through a process where there's certain parts of them are being challenged. We call it the process. But just because you're going through the process doesn't mean you should be content with things looking lack in your life. Don't be content with health looking lack in your life. Don't be content with finances looking lack in your life, because lack is not in our dictionary. Last time I checked, Jesus went to the cross to rid the lack. So if there's any area that's lacking, then you're slacking. And where you're slacking, I'm not backing. So let's get it cracking. I didn't know this morning I'd be rapping. We see Jesus taking on this process that he was going through. And this process is something where we get challenged in our lives. And I believe that today that some people in this room are going to get a breakthrough. I hope it's clear by now that God has established authority for you. I hope that that's clear. I hope you understand that, because you need to get that before we move on to the next section. Authority has been reestablished. Satan is operating. Yeah, he has power. He's had power. He was very high up as an angel when he was an angel before he fell. He's had power. But power and authority are two different things. You can have power, but you don't have the right to do certain things. That's why when you see criminals doing crime, when the police show up, you see who's got the authority. Because they're running. They've got power to do things, but they don't have authority, authorization. So Satan operates, but you have the authority. And there's some measures that you have to take to see that authority at work in your life. In Luke 4, 3-4, we see that Satan said, he said, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these the stone to become bread. But Jesus answered, saying, it is written, man shall live by bread alone. Man shall not live by, bread alone, but every word of God. Amen. So we see in this situation here, Jesus is basically being tempted to compromise his mission, which is to live by the word of God. How many times in your life do you have circumstances, scenarios, different things taking place that lead you to compromise the word? I'm not even talking about necessarily outright sin. I'm not necessarily talking about that. What I'm talking about is some form of a compromise that makes you feel a little bit more comfortable, because believing what God has said on this matter is stepping out a little bit too far for you. Believing what God has said on this situation is a little bit too far-fetched. You can't see it with your normal human mind, so therefore you choose to live this way because it's easier to get your head around. You see, I want to make it clear today that there is some things that you cannot tangibly get your mind around. An example of that is gravity. Gravity is a principle that exists. It's there. If you want to know whether it's there, then, you know, go up to the second floor and climb out the window and walk off the platform, and you will find out that gravity is real. But you can't see it, gravity, but it's there. It exists. But at one point, there was another principle that was discovered, which is called lift. Now, if you look at a plane, let's get real. A plane doesn't look like it should be able to fly. It's a big chunk of metal. How does that get in the air? I look at planes and I'm amazed. I'm like, how does that do that? But what it is at 160 miles an hour, a principle kicks in. It's a principle called lift. And it cancels out gravity and the plane flies. But my question for you is this, was lift created at the moment of discovery, or did it exist before it was discovered? People are like, do I answer that? Or lift already existed before it was discovered. How much is available to you that you're not tapping into because you don't know how it works? Or you don't know that it exists. You see, the word of God says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You see what Satan will try and do? Satan will try and keep you ignorant of the power of the word of God. If you don't start stepping out on the word of God, if you don't start applying the word of God, you will be void of the power of the word of God in your life. You can't be treating the word of God with your own understanding and your own wisdom. You can't look at it and say, I don't understand it, so therefore I don't apply it. You have to take it at face value, and you have to say, the one who spoke it is wiser than me. So if I take it and I apply it, I will see an outcome that might just astound me. Because that is the God who we serve, the one who sees further, the one who sees higher, the one who has a greater perspective, amen? You see, the problem is not enough people read the word of God. Somebody say, ouch. I'm not talking about coming to church on a Sunday and listening to a seminar, to listen to somebody preach and, you know, going home, maybe browsing a few notes. I'm talking about getting your word and studying the word. I'm talking about opening up them pages and saying, look, I need to sit down with this word and see what it actually says. Because the joke of the matter is, there's probably about 50% of your problems right now are happening because you don't know what God says. You don't know what God says concerning it, and therefore you're unable to apply it to your life. Spending too much time on Facebook. Spending too much time on Snapchat with a little back chat. Maybe eating a flapjack. Didn't know I could rap that. But if we spent more time digging into the word of God, we would see, you see, when Jesus was the word of God. And when he was walking on earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what he was doing is he was revealing things that you didn't know existed. When you take a journey with Jesus through the pages, you should be like a student watching him walking and saying, what is the teacher showing? Because he started to reveal things. When he started casting out demons, when he started healing the sick, he was showing, look, there's something at work that you didn't know. This thing is called authority. And you can apply it after I do the work that I'm about to do on the cross. And after that, then we saw the disciples, the apostles, they went out in that power because they now knew. And the apostle Paul was now preaching the kingdom. He was like, listen, I'm a part of something that is greater than what's going on down here on earth. There isn't no government strategy that's greater than the strategy of heaven. There isn't no political strategy that is stronger than the strategy of heaven. What does heaven say concerning your finances? What's the heavenly healthcare system? Come on now. Down here we got NHS, but in heaven you got touch and be blessed. Come on now. We're on a roll this morning. Because heaven says something different concerning your situation. You will read the Bible and the things that it says, sometimes it looks a little far-fetched. It's not far-fetched. It's that it's supernatural. It's not natural, it's supernatural. There's natural laws and there's spiritual laws. An example is sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law. It doesn't make sense to the human mind. You would think to make money that you would have to save it, but no, you actually give it. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, shaking together, all the rest of it, jogging before you, running in front, you know what I mean? That's what it is. It's a spiritual law. Jesus came and he made that known. He made known something that you might not have known. That if there's a need, then sow a bigger seed. But if you was to think of that logically, it does not make sense. This isn't about what makes sense. This is about what God says. If you look at the universe and see how it was created through the word of God, and since he created it, nothing has stopped doing what he told it to do. The moon and the stars and the sun, the grass and the trees, they all do what he told it to do. And every single word that God has spoken that I have taken and applied, I've never, ever been let down, ever. But the question is, have you applied it? Have you taken and applied the word? That was the first thing that he was trying to do, is he was trying to get Jesus to get away from living by the word of God. Jesus said, look, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. In other words, I'm not going to go with the system of the world. I'm not going to go with what you tell me to do. I'm going to go with what he's saying, what I've read and what he's teaching me and what he's speaking to me in my spirit. My question is, are you walking with the word of God? Are you being led by what God's doing? Are you being led by what God's saying? Do you even know the purpose for what he's trying to do in your life? Or are you just walking along doing your own thing? Have you got your own ideals? Because the Bible told me that before he even created you, he had some good works for you to carry out. So if you've been out carrying out your own good works, then those good works might just be burnt up when you see Jesus Christ. Because the works that you're supposed to be doing is the ones that he laid out before time. He has a blueprint for your life. Have you gone to check for him? Jesus, what did you create me for? Because let me tell you, some things might make more sense in your life. You might know why you think that way or why you act that way, because God's put things in you for success in that lane and in that stream that he's made you to walk in. But you might be too busy trying to do your own thing, trying to fit into some box that ain't for you. And then you're begging God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Listen, you ain't got to bless what's already blessed. If you God with God's thing, it's already blessed. You ain't got to beg for the blessing. Sometimes when you're begging, 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 the reason why you're stressing is because you ain't following Christ, so you're messing. This must be the jet lag. I'm telling you, man. The second one is in Luke 4, 7, verse 8. It says, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now that word worship is a Greek word, proskuneo, praise the Lord. And it basically means, you know, what is your source? Where do you go to for your source? What is your source? And it points towards prayer. It points towards prayer. And we see that Jesus, he modeled such a powerful prayer. Like Jesus was sometimes, he would sacrifice sleep and pray all night. Now, how many people in this room have done all-night prayer before? Okay, there's a few hands that have done all-night prayer. Let me tell you, it's not the easiest task. When you're doing all-night prayer, I hope that people don't get offended. It doesn't feel nice. Nothing feels nice about all-night prayer. I've thought about this. It does not feel nice. I'm sorry. I tried to make myself think it felt nice, but it doesn't. All-night prayer does not feel nice. But you know, the joke of the matter is, I don't think Jesus thought it felt nice when he did it. Prayer isn't about feelings. But the one who knows the power of it does it anyway. There's a reason why Jesus continually did it. He wasn't doing it just to be, you know, some religious program. Oh, we pray all night. No, it's not nice enough. He did it because he knew the power of it. There was a time when there was a child who was demon possessed, and the disciples tried to cast out the demon. They couldn't do it. Jesus said, bring, come. Cast out the demon one time. And said, this type does not go without prayer. I didn't see no praying in that chapter. He had already had the deposit of power from the prayer life that he had. He was a carrier of the authority. You see, casting out demons is a sign that follows believers. But the disciples wasn't doing it with this one. What does that tell you? That goes to show you that there's some things of darkness that are a little bit stubborn. And it takes a little bit of prayer. My thing is, how much have you been praying? There's some areas of your life that God wants to deal with, but because you won't separate yourself and get yourself a decent prayer life, then you're not seeing that thing shifting. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, can you not pray even an hour? Come on now. But you're on Facebook for an hour. You get back from work and you put on the TV for 4 hours, it ain't nothing. watching your favorite soap back to back for an hour, spending time with people who don't care nothing about you, watching other people live their life. But how many people separate themselves to spend time with Jesus? You see, the thing is, whoever you spend time with starts to affect you. Starts to affect you when you're thinking. Starts to affect you when you're speaking. Starts to affect you in your actions. Starts to affect, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be affected, I want to be around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to be affected in my thinking by him, my speaking by him. I want my authority to come from him. So I spend my time with him. If you want to see some things changed in your life, you got to start soaking yourself in the presence of the Most High God. You got to take some time out where you say, I'm separating this time for God. This is between me and the Lord. My wife will tell you there's times when you can't phone me. You can't phone me and come speak to me when I'm in a meeting with Jesus. If I was having a meeting with the president, do you think you could just knock on my door and walk in? No, it would be disrespectful. So why would it be like that with the president? It's not like that for the King of Kings. I have an appointment with him and you must wait. How many appointments are you making with Jesus? Jesus was saying, this relationship that I have with the Father is the central point of my authority. This is where my worship's at. I guard this thing daily. I don't allow myself to get busy with work. I don't allow myself to get busy with children or the marriage. I don't allow myself to get too busy with these things that it starts to affect the time I spend with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That is how you're supposed to be dealing with it. Everything else in life is supposed to be secondary. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added. But the problem is too many people are chasing the added. Shando. Too many people are chasing that and chasing that instead of chasing him. They're chasing the things instead of chasing the one of the things. God gave me the revelation because as I chase after the kingdom of God, when I look behind, everything else is just there. Just standard. As you're running after the king, you look behind you, there's gold, there's silver. Before you know it, there's just stuff. But when you're chasing after the stuff, it's running away. Which way do you want to live your life? Because I did chase him before and caught nothing. But when I've been chasing the Lord, every single need I've ever had has been met in Christ Jesus. Every single need. In Luke 4:9-12, we see Satan now attacking another area. Just 1 minute, bro. He's getting ready to go in. But we got to do this. Luke 4:9-12, it says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, first of all, when I read that scripture, I was just like, I don't really understand what principle I'm supposed to take from that. But when you look a little deeper, you come to understand that Satan was trying to tempt Jesus to do something that he didn't have to do. If you believe what God is saying, then you don't have to test God. An example of that is in Genesis 22 with Abraham. Abraham was told that he was going to be a father of many nations and it was going to be through Isaac. Now, he believed when God told him this that it was going to happen. He believed that God was going to do it. Through this child, he's going to make him a father of many. And he's got this child. And then God speaks to him and says, sacrifice the child. Test him. He tests him in Genesis 22, and that's what he said. He's going to test him. I want to test your faith. How many of you have had your faith tested? But the response is key. Because he had his faith tested. And what he did is, he said, you know what? I'm going to go and do it. We're going to go and worship. But the key thing is what a lot of people miss is he had two servants. And he said he's going to go and worship, which was to sacrifice, to basically get rid of the son. But he said to the servants, he said, we're going to go worship, but we're going to be back. Some of you ain't catching that. What does that mean? That means that he believed that if God said that he was going to multiply him through this child, that even if he sacrificed him, somehow, because God's word is unfading, unchanging, never stopping, unstoppable, somehow he's going to bring back this child and that they're going to return. That's the type of faith that we've been called to have. That when God says something, even though the circumstances look the opposite, we don't turn to give ourselves to the environment, but we focus on what it is that he said, and we stand on the living word of God, and we believe that what he said is surely going to come to pass. Because the word of God is not believing, it's believed. Which means you're not hoping it's going to happen, you believe it's been done. That type of faith, we see that in Genesis. There's a portion of scripture when it talks about that faith and it says that it's the God type faith. It's in the Gospels. And what it is it's talking about in Genesis, when God created things, he never wondered whether his word was going to do it. He said, let there be light, pam, light, one time. Because when he said it, his word was surely going to bring it to pass. That very same word that brought that to pass is the very same word that operates in your life if you'll take it, receive it, speak it, live it, do it. But if it's just a word that you look at and you think, oh, maybe, then you're missing the point. An example of that, a testimony, is going to World Conference. Worship team actually can hit the way up. I have a little testimony for World Conference. How many people loved World Conference? I know there's a few World Conference people. They're all jet lagged. They're like, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to. It's powerful. Praise the Lord. But I knew that God was providing for me to go to World Conference. Now, I knew I was going to go to World Conference, but when I looked at the bank account said, no, you're not going nowhere. I was like, wow, like, God, you're going to take me to World Conference, but my bank is looking like it's, you know, taking me to the next city at most. But I knew that God was going to do it. And people kept asking me, are you going to World Conference? And because I knew God said it, I said, yes, I'm going to World Conference. They say, have you booked your plane ticket? I say, don't worry about my ticket. You worry about your ticket. My ticket is covered by the blood. But the reality was, is that my bank was saying something else. A lot of people would have got discouraged when they look at the bank. They would have looked at the bank and that circumstance would have depicted what they decided to stand on. But I never decided to stand on the bank figure. I decided to stand on the words. So every time someone asked me the question, I never partnered my confession with the lie. I spoke in line with the word of God. And I said, yes, I'm going. And I remember being at a Wednesday prayer and one of my brothers, he said, are you going to World Conference? I was like, yeah. And I knew he was going to ask it. Have you booked your ticket? And I was like, not yet. But God is going to provide. And at that point, my phone was vibrating. But I don't answer my phone in prayer. So after prayer, I looked at my phone. And I had a text message. And someone said, look, listen, I am transferring money to your account. I am covering the payment for your flights. It was dealt with. power of the word of God. The week after that, my wife's flight was paid for. I was believing not just for me, I was believing for us. We were going. My bank was like, your shoe ain't even going. But we both went. And we both had a place to stay. And we both ate good over there. God provided absolutely everything. You see, the thing is God has given us the authority. He's broken the chains of Satan. Demolished them. Absolutely obliterated them. But there's areas of your life that you probably say, you know what? I don't feel like this is the blessing. This don't feel like the blessing. But basically what I spoke about today, it's not a complicated message. It's very simple. It's probably the most basic. This is the bread and butter of a successful life with the Lord. Prayer life, word life, and faith, the currency of heaven. That's it. If you would take those things that you already know and apply them, then you are guaranteed to see transformation in those areas where the enemy has got you bound. Guaranteed. So I just want to ask everyone to stand this afternoon. And we're going to open up the altars in just a moment. I want you to search your heart right now. Search it. Because let me tell you, we have an anointing on this ministry to take cities for Jesus. This is a city-taking, nation-shaking ministry. Over in World Conference, we just launched out 7 new churches. Pam, 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 pam. Nothing. And we're going to see transformation in those cities. We do it all the time. That's what we do. We take over because we know that the power of Satan does not have the authority. We go in and shift him to the side and say, listen, the kingdom of God is in here. But God needs to take territory in you before he can take territory in anywhere else. So that's what this altar call is about. If you can search your heart and say, you know what? I need to step up my word life. I need to step up my prayer life. I need to step up my faith game and believe in what it is that God is saying to me. Then I don't want you to look to the left or the right today. I want you to make yourself to the altar right now, and I want you to call out on God. I want you to lay that thing down. I want you to say, look, it's a new season. It's a new time. It's a new thing. Just as the worship team worship, come and find a place with the Lord. This is that time. I know there's more people. It will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center. Jesus at
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.